Welcome to the Tabletop Games Blog topic discussion.
Reviews, bad actors, and consequentialism. Reviewing games from controversial publishers. I reckon most of us have heard about toxic behavior in our hobby. Some of us will have experienced it directly. Many of us can probably name at least one bad actor who's still present in our community. There are also publishers who still work with these people despite having been public outrage about the person's behavioral actions and the person not showing any remorse or accepting any responsibility. As a reviewer, my initial reaction is not to review games from those publishers, let alone if a toxic person has worked on them in any capacity. However, as I want to discuss in this article, things aren't always that black and white. Let me try and define what it is I want to talk about. Let's assume a board game publisher has a multi-year contract with a known bad actor. The contract was signed before the person showed any toxic behavior, but its term is not due to run out for a number of years. Let's also assume that the bad actor is a board game designer. Of course, it could also be anyone working in the industry, but for simplicity's sake, let's go with designer, and let's call that person the toxic designer. I don't want to define what bad actor or toxic behavior means specifically, other than by saying that I would definitely not buy a game that the person was involved in. I definitely not want to promote this person or their work in any way. In fact, I think the person should leave the industry altogether. Feel free to choose a person from any of the recent events that you may have heard of happening in our hobby in the last few years. So my stance is clear. I don't want to promote the toxic designer in any way. That's straightforward. However, the next question is if other people or companies are guilty by association. After all, the publisher having a contract with the toxic designer should probably have cancelled it. They should have severed all connections with the person. They should have publicly distanced themselves from this bad actor. Instead, they chose to continue working with them. So it should be my duty to take the next step and not promote the publisher, because I would be promoting the toxic designer indirectly as well. The publisher is clearly not helping the situation. The publisher is allowing the toxic person to continue to work in the industry and therefore be a part of our community. The obvious choice for me would be not to promote any games released by the publisher, let alone review them. You could potentially take the concept of guilt by association even further and include everyone working for the publisher. You could even include anyone promoting the publisher. The circle could be widened further and further, but of course at some point the link between the toxic designer and the people who are considered to be supporting the bad actor becomes extremely tenuous and meaningless. Personally, I think drawing the line at the publisher itself makes sense. Including people working for the publisher is already going too far, in my view. After all, chances are they can't just change jobs that easily. They have bills to pay. So even though people working for the publisher might consider moving to another company themselves, it doesn't feel right to condemn them for working for the publisher. Consequently, it makes even less sense to widen the circle further. So far it has been quite black and white, and I reckon many of you will agree with my stance. However, let me complicate things a little. Let's assume the publisher does a lot of great work in the industry. Not only have they published games designed, illustrated, or otherwise worked on by women, people of color, or other marginalized groups, but they have a woman director and employ other women and people of color in key positions within the company. These are all things that should be promoted and supported in whatever way possible. In fact, I strongly feel I should buy, play, and review some of the publisher's games. However, given my stance of not wanting to promote the toxic designer and making the publisher guilty by association, I am unable to do so. It's a moral conundrum I've wrestled with for a long time, and I think I've found an answer. At least I think I've found a possible answer and one that I'm basing on an ethical theory. Let me quote. Consequentialism is an ethical theory that judges whether or not something is right by what its consequences are. For instance, most people would agree that lying is wrong, but if telling a lie would help save a person's life, consequentialism says it's the right thing to do. So consequentialism takes many forms, and there are many ways of weighing up the pros and the cons of actions versus their consequences. I'm definitely not an expert in the field of ethics, but I feel I understand consequentialism well enough to be comfortable with applying it to my scenario. In fact, I think it's utilitarianism that I want to use to back up my decision about whether to support the publisher or not. Let me quote again. Utilitarianism holds the most ethical choice is the one that will produce the greatest good for the greatest number. In my view, reviewing games where women, people of color, or other people from marginalized groups were involved is important and the right thing to do. The more of these games I can review, the better. If the publisher who works with a toxic designer publishes games from women, people of color, or other people from marginalized groups, and they publish more games from these people than they publish from the toxic designer, then utilitarianism seems to agree that it is the right thing to do. Consequently, utilitarianism also says that reviewing these games is the right choice. At least that's my interpretation of these ethical theories. It also feels right to me that I should review games from the publisher who works with the toxic designer, as long as these games deserve support, such as in the case of games made for women, people of color, or other marginalized groups. What do you think? Does that make sense? Is that the right thing to do? Or do you feel I should not support the publisher in any way due to their connection to the toxic designer? Maybe you have another viewpoint altogether. As always, please share thoughts and experiences on the blog at tabletopgamesblog.com. It would be great to hear what you think about this rather complicated topic.
Thank you for listening to this Tabletop Games Blog topic discussion podcast. Please check the description below for links mentioned in this episode, as well as to the written version of this article on the blog. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us some stars, or leave a review. Please also tell your friends about me, and if you want to offer financial support, check out my Patreon Ko-fi pages, links to which you'll find in the blog at tabletopgamesblog.com. So thank you again for listening, and I hope to see you again soon.
This podcast was made possible by the generous help of my supporters. Role Patron Sean Newman, Magic Champion John Risley, Castle Guards David Miller and James Naylor, Dice Masters Alex Bardi, Paul Grogan and Robin Kay, and Shining Lights Jacob Davis, Gavin Jones, Sarah Reed and Richard Simpson.